약간 고음을 쓰기 시작한 거야.
기대님과 일단 패션한테 내셔서 This is 72 9th ordained and officers and participants to decision. I address you, introduce you, Mr. Dr. Joseph Dean. He is a graduate of the Islamic Seminaries of Home and Mission. In addition, he earned an MA in Philosophy of Religion from the University of Religion and Denomination in Iran, and the second MA in Islamic Studies and Christian-Muslim Relations from Oxford International University in the United States. His PhD is in comparative study of religions and mysticism and Ferdowsi University of Mission. He teaches in the Islamic seminaries in Qom and Mission and also teaches regularly in various forums and universities in Iran and also in York and in Russia. As a guest lecturer, he has taught at the University of Paderborn in Germany and University of Religions and Denominations in Iran. He is a member of the steering committee of the International Abrahamic Forum in Germany and is highly engaged in interfaith activities worldwide. The title of the session is, in general, is spirituality studies. And in particular, she spirituality studies, and we are waiting for the professor to begin your
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Is it active now?
No, it must be on.
Press. Okay. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Thank you everyone for having me today, and I would like to appreciate everyone who is also listening online, if anyone is online, and I would like to give my appreciation to Dr. Shakir Najjar and anyone else who has helped me have this session and have provided this opportunity for me. I want to talk about Shi'i spirituality studies, as you can see in the title. And before I will go directly to the topic that is the Shi'i spirituality studies, I want to talk more generally as an introduction about spirituality studies in general, regardless of whether it is Shi'i or non-Shi'i or whatever, because there are a lot of commonality between the spirituality studies, regardless of where it comes from. So I will start with an introduction to the spirituality studies. And let me say why, what does the spirituality studies actually mean, and what is the meaning of spirituality studies? As you can see on the board, it has been defined as one of the definitions is systematic and rigorous examination of spirituality, including its history, theory, practice, and influence on human life and culture. You know, what I need to emphasize is that I am going to talk about spirituality studies mainly from an academic point of view. I'm not going to talk about different aspects that spirituality can be studied. This is focused on the academic aspect. But the point is that when it comes about spirituality studies, it has many different things. One is the definition of spirituality itself that I will explain later. The other thing is that the relationship between spirituality studies and other disciplines. You know, the spirituality studies, the very first thing that can be said about it is that it is an interdisciplinary field of study that is related to, it's actually a growing interdisciplinary field that is related to theology, philosophy, psychology, sociology, and anthropology. And all of these religions have a lot of all of these different fields of academic studies have a lot of interactions with this important field of study. Another thing that needs to be mentioned is that when we talk about spirituality studies, one important aspect is that its relationship to other aspects of human life, such as health, morality, and politics. So it is something that has a lot of impacts on different aspects of our lives, both personal and also collective life that we have. Okay, let's go to the next one. Is the mission or the goal of the study of the spirituality or spirituality studies? The main mission is understanding the spirituality from an empirical, here I emphasize on the point empirical and scientific, because it is the academic approach to this spirituality perspective, and how it influences individuals and societies. That's the whole thing that we want to do with regard to the spirituality. The spirituality as a phenomenon that, you know, there are a lot of details about it, how it can influence our lives, whether personal or societal aspects of our lives. How individuals and societies are influenced by spirituality. That's the main goal behind all the, let's say, research and the academic efforts that are done in this regard. The next question that I want to pose here is why it matters, why it is important to talk about spirituality, and why spirituality studies matter at all. This is something that someone said, okay, spirituality is something personal, and who cares about it? Why should we study spirituality at all? Some people say that it is only religious. Some people say that it has nothing to do with religion. All of these things, things that are discussed. But why does it matter? My answer to this question, to this very important question, is that the study of spirituality matters because spirituality itself matters and is a very important and influential phenomenon on today's society. Let me talk about this way. I would say the very first thing that I want to say is its popularity. You know, spirituality today is extremely popular. A research has been done a few years ago by the National Study of Youth and Religion. It's an institution in the United States, and it showed that nearly 70% of the participants, teenagers who were studying in the universities, or the youth and the teenagers in the United States, they claim that they consider themselves spiritual, but not necessarily religious. They say that yes, we are spiritual, but some of them say yes, we are also religious, but some of them said no, because in their minds, spirituality has nothing to do necessarily with religion. And this, as you can tell, this highlights the growing interest in spirituality and the need for further investigation in the society. That 70% of the youth, even in the United States, they say that they are spiritual, this is something huge. This is something big, and it cannot be taken for granted. This is the most important thing. And when you look at other cultures and other societies, you see that spirituality, although, you know, let me say it this way. Religion, according to a lot of different research, religion has been a subject to a lot of decrease. You know, it has been declined in many societies, not everywhere. But on the other hand, spirituality in the last century, we can say, in the last few decades, has always been something that has been increasing. There has been an increased level of interest towards spirituality. So the first important reason that about why spirituality matters is that it's popularity. And the other important thing that is even more important for the scholars and for the scientists is its impact. According to a lot of recent academic and scientific research that has been conducted in many different countries, in the United States, in Canada, and also in some European institutions, they show that spirituality has a huge impact on different aspects of the human life, as I mentioned before. For example, spirituality has a huge impact on mental health. Many scholars today, they believe that research shows that spirituality can have a positive effect on mental health. How it can have a positive, what do we mean by positive impact? We mean that it has been proved to have a positive effect on reducing the stress, anxiety, depression, and these things that are very common in today's world. So improved mental health is one aspect of the impact of spirituality. The other one is personal growth. Personal growth, what do we mean by that? You know, today, in today's world, and even in the past, people have been looking for a meaning in life. And many people today believe that they can find the meaning in their life through spirituality. So meaning and purpose in life is another aspect that is directly and indirectly influenced by spirituality and how a person perceives its spiritual activities and actually science. The other one that I have, yes, better relationships. Better relationships, again, according to many, I mean, recent, let's say, research, the scientists say that spirituality can help individuals develop a better relationship among others in the society, in their communities, and actually it can somehow adjust the way that people communicate with each other, and it has had a positive impact on the relationship. And they can help them even get more connected to the community. You know, this is something very important. Some people find that even the connection to the community is one aspect of becoming more spiritual. There are some groups that they see that, you know, one method in order to become more spiritual is to get connected to the community that they live within. Especially with, there are some Christian, let's say, spiritual movements that when they want to give a practical method in order to become more spiritual, they say that, okay, get connected to the community, serve the community. So actually it helps have a better relationship with the community. This is another important aspect of another reason for the importance of spirituality according to the science. Another one is the physical health. This is interesting because studies have shown that spirituality can have a positive impact even on the physical health. How? Because it can reduce the risk of chronic diseases and promoting overall well-being. I'm trying to be very concise and very short. I don't have time to go to all the details. The other one is cultural understanding, cultural and societal understanding. You know, the spirituality, as you know, is a major part of many cultures and religions, actually all the religions, but in addition to the religions, many cultures and societies see spirituality as an important part of their culture. So when you do study spirituality, you get a better sense of that culture, how they practice spirituality. For example, a culture in Africa, a culture in Europe, a culture in South Asia, they have different styles of becoming more spiritual. When we study these things, actually we are studying an important aspect of the human life, which is very ubiquitous. You can find it everywhere in different shapes, in different forms. So it will give us a better understanding of the cultural entity of different communities. In conclusion, I would say that spirituality status matters because spirituality itself plays a significant role in the life of the individuals and also it impacts the society. This is just briefly what I said. So it has a significant role in shaping our lives and the world around us. That is why we study spirituality, and that is one of the reasons it has become very important. And in the recent years, you can see that there has been a growing number of the institutions and universities around the world that have dedicated schools in order just to study and do research for spirituality. This was the first part. Let me go to the next part of my discussion. So far I have talked. If there is anything that you want to interrupt or want to say, let me know, please. Yes.
Is it possible to ask one question?
Sure. Yes, yes. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
I would like your idea about this race. Religious and non-religious spirituality is the Muslim war.
Yes.
How do you think of it?
Yeah, it is part of my talk later in a few minutes. I will come to a comparison between religiosity and spirituality.
I think Hinduism and Buddhism and pagan, and pagan culture has impacted the spirituality in the old age and the new age.
Yes.
Different
of course.
Age of
yes. Age. I will talk about it more extensively in a few minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Let me go to the main themes and issues. When we talk, you know, this is really important. This should be one of the important parts of my speech today. When we talk about the spirituality studies, whether it is Shi'i spirituality studies or any other type of spirituality studies, what should we focus on? What are the main questions? What are the main problems? And what are the main themes and issues in spirituality study? And what are the main topics that scholars focus when they talk about spirituality? These are the main topics. I have a list of 12 topics, 12, let's say, issues that are under a lot of discussions today when it comes to the spirituality study. The very first thing is that although spirituality itself is very popular, and I said in the beginning that all the societies have one or the other ways of spirituality, but up until today, there is no agreement on the definition of spirituality. As we have in Farsi, Hakati, Adnan, Khoshod, Yaraman, they have had a lot of different definitions, they have said, and there is a limited overlap between the definitions. So there are very huge and very different, opinions by the scholars about what spirituality is. So definition and conceptualization of spirituality itself is one important topic when it comes to the spirituality studies. We need to do it today if we want to have something like that in our academic, Shi'i settings. We want to do. We really need to have a clear definition because that's a very first step in order to start something. The second one is spirituality and religion, that is your question. Spirituality and religion itself and the relationship between spirituality and religion itself actually is one of the most important and hard topics that is discussed today. Is spirituality part of religion? Is spirituality a broader concept than religion? Or as some people say, it has nothing to do with religion. You know, these are different ideas that people have. The most common idea is that spirituality is a broader concept. It can include some religion, but many people say that, as I said, they can be spiritual without necessarily being connected to one of the institutionalized religions. And I will show some more information about this. The third one is spirituality and health. If you want to talk about spirituality again in our academic Shi'i settings in our universities, we really need to talk about these important things. What is the relationship between spirituality and health, both physical and mental? Because this is something that is being studied today. And many studies today show that there has been, as I said in the past, there has been a positive impact by the spirituality in the well-being and actually in promoting well-being and coping with illness and stress and anxiety and these types of things. So this is another topic that is usually discussed. Another part is spirituality and ethics. Can spirituality help a person become more ethical or more moral? This is the main question. And this is something that is subject to a lot of investigation.
Yeah.
Some people say, no, not necessarily. And most people say, yes, of course, a more spiritual person would be actually more committed to the moral virtues or ethical virtues. This is something that needs to be under a lot of investigation. Another one is spirituality and culture. I mentioned it in the past, so I don't go to the details. But briefly speaking, as I said, you can find different aspects and different forms of spirituality in different cultures. All of these things need to be examined. How different people find their meaning in life and their purpose in life, all of those things are part of the study of spirituality. When we do want to study spirituality, we need to find out, okay, that community in the West, that community in the East, or anywhere else in the world, how do they find something, how do they define it, define something as a spiritual? So spirituality and culture is another important theme and issue in the study of spirituality. Another one is spirituality and science. You know, some scholars believe that spirituality examines relationship, actually it needs to study the relationship between spirituality and other branches of science. So this is something, we need all of these fields to be studied here as a center for doing spiritual studies. The next one is spirituality and nature. What is the relationship between spirituality and nature, especially because, you know, these are the main titles, especially because many people believe that there is an inherent and there is a profound link between spirituality and the nature. Some people find that they are more spiritual when they go to the nature, and the impact of the nature on the spiritual, on the spirituality, and vice versa. This is something that is very popular today in the spirituality studies. Another one is spirituality and personal growth, as I mentioned in the past, so I don't repeat it again. The impact of modernity on spirituality. This is big because, again, as I said, many research shows that, especially in the Western countries, not necessarily in the Eastern countries, I mean, not that much, but in the Western countries, there is an increasing interest to the spirituality, and in some settings, there has been a decreasing interest into the religions. So although the interest to the religions in some places has decreased, but interest towards spirituality has always been increasing. So the impact of modernity, is this an impact of modernity, or how can modernity and spirituality actually interact? And why this happens in the modern societies? Why do people try to bring, they have more interest in spirituality in the modern societies? Why do they claim that they don't want to be that religious? This is another important topic. The other one is the intersection of spirituality with other disciplines. I mentioned in the beginning that the spirituality studies itself is an interdisciplinary field of study. So it has a relationship with theology more than any other thing. It is related with theology, with sociology and psychology, especially psychology, and how spirituality can have a positive impact on our mind and our soul and our whatever we want to call it. On anthropology, on philosophy, on politics. So the intersection of spirituality with other fields of science is another thing to be studied. The other one is historical and cross-cultural perspectives on spirituality. You know, when we want to study that part of this field, we need to take a look at how spiritual activities, or let's say spiritual forms in the societies have evolved. How have they changed? And what are the commonalities between different cultures when it comes to spirituality? What are the differences of different cultures when it comes to this spirituality? This is another important topic. And the other one, the last one, the 12th one, is the spiritual dimension of human experience. You know, spirituality, as you can tell better, it has a huge impact on the personal and, let's say, religious experience, and also spiritual experience, and the way that a person connects, feels more connected to the transfer, to the transcendence. This needs to be studied more in depth in order to have more knowledge about it. Okay, let's go to the next part. This is related to your question.
Yeah.
This is one of the examples. I said that there are 12 different key themes in the spirituality of science. The main, maybe the most popular one for us who are more, let's say, familiar with the religion and the religious spirituality is that, okay, what is the relationship between religion and spirituality? Or what is, we want to compare religiosity and spirituality. Are they really connected to each other? I said that there are many different ideas. Three of them are, some people say that they do intersect like this, so they have commonalities, but they have differences. Some people say that spirituality is a broader meaning, so it includes parts of the religion. And some people say that spirituality has nothing to do with religion, because their goal is different. But maybe the most common one, the most popular idea among the scholars is that the relationship between the spirituality and religion is something like that. There are some intersections and overlaps when it comes to both of them. For example, both of them help have a better understanding of the meaning of life. Religions, all of the religions have some spiritual, let's say, advices. And a lot of religion, spiritual do's and don'ts, but at the same time, there are some aspects of spirituality based on the definition. I mean, this is important. Based on the academic definition of spirituality, there are some aspects of spirituality that are not related to religion. So, because spirituality in an academic setting is defined like any activity that helps a person find a type of meaning in life and a type of connection to something higher, to a transcendent, let's say, entity. Whether it is religious or not, if a person says, "I don't belong to any of these institutionalized religions," but I go and sit in the nature and do meditation, and I feel calmness, and I feel, let's say, I feel peace of mind, I feel peace inside. According to the academic standards, he or she would be doing something spiritual, although it is not necessarily related to any of the religions. Some people say that, no, we find the spirituality when we do something religious. For example, when we do religious rituals, when we do fasting and other examples of what we have in religion, that is where we find the spirituality. So they have overlaps and they have distinctions. The distinctions we can say are, in, first of all, definition. So spirituality refers to a person's personal connection to a higher power. This is the definition of spirituality. But when we say religion, for example, is following Islam or Christianity or Judaism or whatever. So the definition is different. The second one is the focus. Yeah, they have different focus. The spirituality is often focused on the inner experience. Religions have different focus. They focus on rituals, and they focus on the beliefs and the texts. A person can have no spirituality, but still they claim that they are religious. For example, we may find a lot of Muslims or Christians who consider themselves very good Muslims or very good Christians, but they are not spiritual.
Yeah.
They do a lot of, for example, they pray and they fast and they do everything that a Muslim needs to do, but without looking at it from a spiritual aspect, and without actually being spiritual. They just see that, okay, this is obligatory, so I do that. So we have different focus. The third one is the source of authority. The source of authority. The spirituality, where does it come? Where does it find its authority? From within. It's mainly based on intuition, shuhud, and that feelings inside. But when it comes to the religion, authority comes from, for example, from the text. In Islam, it comes from the Quran and Sunnah. In the other religions have their own sources of authority. So source of authority is the third one. The fourth one is inclusivity. And as I said, spirituality can be experienced by any person regardless of their religion. But religion, no. It has its own framework that needs to be done in that framework to be considered religious. And the fourth one is role in daily life. You know, for many people consider themselves Christian, or Jew, or Muslim, or some other religions, but that, you know, being a follower of religion or being a being a Muslim or a Jew or Christian does not have any practical aspect in their daily life. This happens. A person can say, yes, I am Muslim. That's it. I don't do anything, you know, I don't pray, this happens. For example, a person can be a Christian but never goes to the church. Or a person can still be a Jew but never goes to a synagogue or never does anything Jewish. But still, when it comes to the spirituality, a person cannot say, I'm spiritual but I don't do anything. Because spirituality is defined based on the things that you do to find meaning in yourself. So these are this is a very subtle point.
It's part of that's very, very good explanation. But I would like to know, yes, you said about the intersection between religion and spirituality.
Is there on your way?
Yes. What?
Is there on?
Yes. What is important? In paganism, some scientists believe that paganism has some spirituality that is united to the other spirituality depending on the religion.
Exactly, that's what it says here. You know, the intersection of the spirituality with other disciplines and other with other cultures. You know, either paganism, you look at it, I don't know what you exactly mean by paganism, but for sure, there has been an interaction between different cultures when it comes to spirituality. But there are some sorts of spiritual activities that you don't see any similarity in any religion. When you go to some pagan communities,
that they believe that spirituality between religion and no religion, for example, paganism, are united.
In what
one
sense?
Thing. One thing.
In what sense are united?
Yes. I write it in the particular sense of spirituality.
You know, they are similar in the sense that everyone who does that, whether that person is a pagan or a religious person or a non-religious person, they do it for the same type of intention. They do it to find a type of meaning and connection to something higher. That's the similarity. But they are not the same. For example, a Muslim person, it says that I've become spiritual. For me, spirituality means getting closer to God. Spirituality for that person means getting closer to God and nothing else. That's his or her definition of spirituality. But when it comes to, for example, let's say a Buddhist, he would never look at it like that. Another person who does not consider himself follower of any religions may say that for me, spirituality is anything that I do in order to find inner peace, If something that calms me down, that is spiritual for me.
Yeah.
That's it. So they are not the same. You are not the same. The intention is different. The nature is different. What we do is different. The way that we look at it is different. So they are different from many different aspects. At the end of the day, it's a type of feeling that helps a person get connected to something higher. That's the commonality, the common points.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Sorry for interruption. I think the main actual issue here is relationship between spirituality and religion. That the definition of Shia spirituality should be decided on how we define this relationship. I think as you show us in the next slide, actually, we don't have a spirituality versus religiosity. We have lots of overlap things, themes, and we should get beyond these these conflicts. We don't have any conflict here.
No, it's not a conflict. You know, it doesn't necessarily, when I say spirituality versus religiosity, it's a broad meaning. They may be the same, but something is the same.
My main question is that if we get to the Shia spirituality, do you think that we don't need to differentiation between spirituality and religion? Maybe in Shia spirituality we have these both together, and we don't have any very strict border.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's superficial. Superficial,
right?
Conflict between spirituality and religion, and it's not related to our society. Maybe it's related to our society. Maybe it's related to our background.
Right.
But I want to know your point of view.
Yeah.
But not here. Then we get to the definition of Shia spirituality.
Yes. You know, it all depends on how you define it. Me personally, I do think that they overlap and they intersect, but they still have a lot of differences. I'm in touch with many, you know, if you go and talk to many of the youth here in our society, who believe, they say that, you know, we are Shia, but, for example, we are Shia Muslims, their understanding is, I mean, the definition that they have in mind about spirituality. But we do find spirituality by meditation. We have meditation in its technical sense that we have in Buddhism in our faith tradition. Not that way. We have things that are similar to meditation, but that is not called meditation. As a Shia person or a religious person, a person may say that, no, you want to become spiritual, you should follow for that. You should go and pray, you should go to the mosque, you should fast, you should go and do Namaz al-Shahr and these types of things, and recite Quran and these types of things. But the person may say, no, I don't do any of these things, I'm still a Shia, I go and do meditate and I become more spiritual. You know, it depends on the definition. Many scholars, they don't accept it as a spirituality. But people today, they define, and the academic definition of spirituality, they say that, yes, that is spirituality. If we do want to bring a new definition, we really need to work on that. We need to prove that our definition is better than the other definition. We cannot just say that that is not spirituality when the person himself says that, I become more spiritual. So, yeah, we do
it's an accepted concept.
Exactly, yeah. It's a, you really need to work on that. Okay, let's go to the major institutions. There are a lot. Just three of the universities that are working, that are doing more work on this is Harvard Divinity School, Duke University, and University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, are two of the institutions that is in the United States. I'm saying that this is just a very few examples. There are many other institutions and schools and in Europe, in Canada, in North America, in Germany, many other places of the world that they focus on spirituality studies. In the United States, these two institutions are the ones that I found that are very active, and they have dedicated schools for the studies of spirituality. Let's go to the Shi'i spirituality studies, and I will try to be short. This part, you know, the first part of my presentation was it was more important from one aspect because it was more general, and actually it has a lot of it impacts the second part. But on this Shi'i spirituality studies, I will only focus on the people and the publications and areas to work on. Three different topics that I want to focus. Before going to that, I would say, you know, spirituality may be important everywhere. And I said it is indeed important, and I mentioned the reasons for its importance. But when it becomes to the Shi'i studies, Shi'i spirituality studies, I think it becomes even more important for many different reasons. One is that Shi'ism itself has been shaped around the spiritual and political life of the Imams. When we say Shi'ism, what is Shi'ism? One of the best definitions of the Shi'ism is that denomination in Islam that is shaped around the political and the spiritual authority of the Imams. Imams in Shi'ism are not just political leaders or religious leaders. They are also spiritual examples. This level of emphasis on the spirituality level of the Imams as the main authority, as the main, let's say, creators of this denomination, is not found in other denominations. It is only found in Sufism. Yeah, some Sufi sects that they focus on the spirituality of the Shaykh or but when it comes to Shi'ism, that really makes the spirituality in Shi'ism something central. Because it has been shaped around the spirituality of the Imam. Another aspect of the importance of the Shi'i spirituality studies is the Shi'i practices. What we have, we claim. No, we claim that mourning practices, or ziyarat, or you know, those things that are very Shi'i. I mean, I'm not talking about the Islamic general Islamic things. Yes, prayer and fasting, these are Islamic. But in Shi'ism, we have some extra rituals, like what, like ziyarat. Exactly. All the kind of pilgrimations and ziyarat, and for example, mourning, azadari, different types of azadari, and celebrations, and these types of things.
Lots of rituals. Yes, particular to Shi'ism.
Exactly. They are particular to Shi'ism, and we believe that they are related. Yeah. They bring the spirituality. Mm-hmm. So at least the scholars claim that these are spiritual. This is another aspect that gives an extra reason for the Shi'i spirituality studies, in addition to the general importance that they mentioned in the past. I hope that you get the point.
Do you think the main core here is the spiritual aspect of the Imam, or other things in Shi'i spirituality?
I said that there are many different importance that gives extra importance in Shi'ism. One is the nature of Shi'ism, which has been shaped around the spiritual character of the Imam. This is the first one. The second one was the Shi'i rituals. I mean Shi'i rituals, not Islamic rituals in general. Yes, they are important, but we have extra Shi'i rituals. This is another importance. And so I think all of these three. The third one is the devotional texts that we have. But all of them are, at the end of the day, all of them are related to the spiritual character of the Imam.
Yeah.
So that is the main thing. But the devotional text, definitely, according to a lot of the research that I have personally done and many scholars have done, you know, Shi'ism is the most devotional denomination in Islam. This is an important sentence. نیایشی‌ترین مذهب در مذاهب اسلامی تشیع. So we have a lot of devotional texts. And these devotional texts, like you know, like Sahifa and all the prayers, you cannot find it in any other, let's say, denomination in Islam, and even from there's a huge emphasis by the Imams on the devotional texts. So this is another additional important reason for the study of the spirituality from the devotional text. What is the impact of the devotional text in Mutun Niyayishi on the spirituality? So this is another extra thing that we have that gives one more reason to do a lot of research on that. So I conclude this way, this part of my presentation, that the Shi'i Islam is important, has given a lot of importance and emphasis to the spirituality, and this gives some extra reasons in order to study. I have a few more slides to talk about Shi'ism, about the main figures, if I have time. Can I have 5, 6, 7 minutes?
Yeah.
Do I have time? Because I started later, so I have.
Yes, never mind.
Okay, fine. Thank you. So let's talk about the key figures in Shi'i spirituality studies. I have chosen just 3 or 4 figures who have written a lot about the Shi'i spirituality.
Yes.
The main one in the Western academia, because I'm talking from the academic point of view, is Sayyid Hossein Nasr, who has written, I think he's the most prolific scholar who has written a lot about Shi'i spirituality, and actually spirituality in Islam in many different aspects. And everyone knows, and I don't think that I need to, you know, some major books that I have here is The Garden of the Truth, Man and the Nature, The Spiritual Crisis in Modern Man, that I have here, The Essential, Priest of Shon Library, Another, The Heart of Islam, Knowledge and the Sacred, Islamic Art and Spirituality. These are just few examples of the books of Sayyid Hossein Nasr. The Need for a Sacred Science, Sufism and the Integration of the Inner and the Outer of the Man, Outer Life of Man. You know, these are things that are clearly on Shi'i spirituality. So he can be, considered maybe the most important or the most well-known person when it comes to the authors of Shi'i spirituality.
Sorry for interruption. It's related to Shi'i spirituality or perennialism. Sufism.
Yes, but he himself.
What is your definition?
Exactly, he himself considers himself a type of Shi'i spirituality. You know. Exactly. That's what he said. At least we know that someone who is known as a prominent Shia writer or a scholar has written a lot about the spiritual aspects of Islam. So he can be someone who whose name can be mentioned here. The other one is his student, William Chidick. William Chidick is a distinguished professor at the Stony Brook University, and he has more than 175 articles on Islamic thought, Sufism, Shi'ism, and Persian literature. Most of his books are on let's say, either mysticism or spirituality. Not all of them are about necessarily spirituality, but let's say a broader meaning of mysticism. These are some of the books that I have written here. The Sufi Path of Knowledge, The Self-Disclosure of God, The Heart of Islamic Philosophy, that is something of the essential. You know, these are, you can find in all of these things something related to the topic, the vision of Islam, the essential writings of Sufism, his book about Ibn Arabi, and the other books that I have this is the 10th one, The Inner Journey of the Sufis. You can tell that, you may say that these are about Sufism, but when we talk about spirituality in its general meaning, these are related. I think these are the people who have done some work about it. And this is why we say that we need much more. Because most people who have done work on spirituality in Shi'ism, they have mainly written about Sufism, or different branches of Sufism. Not necessarily purely about spirituality. Another person that is the most, maybe another very famous person is Muhammad Ali Amir Mohidzi, professor of classical Islamic studies at Sorbonne. And these are some of the major books that he has written. I've translated this into. So, most of his books are in French and in Italian. Some of them have been translated into English. The Divine Guide in Early Shiism. You know, he clearly says, claims that he's talking about the Shi'i spirituality, and he has a very controversial approach to the Shi'i spirituality. Yeah. Very controversial.
We have some of these books in Persian, for example, The Spirituality of Shi'i Islam.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, it has been originally written in French, then it has been translated into English. I think the Persian one has been translated maybe from English, I don't know.
But it's very controversial.
Exactly, yes.
Most of the scholars don't believe in
it. Yes, that. Exactly. That's another thing that we have today, you know. The people who are writing about Shi'i spirituality and mysticism are saying things that are not that much acceptable, are not accepted by, let's say, the more traditional scholars. So, what do we have? If you really want to say something like that, you need to do a lot of work.
Actually, we don't have any book in English about Shi'i spirituality.
Exactly.
That it's according to the own school of thought.
That's a huge problem.
I think this book is from, yeah. Mozias.
Yes, that's what he said. Yeah. The spirituality of Shi'i Islam. You see? Ma'naviyat Islam Shi'i. He's clearly saying, claiming that he wants to introduce the spirituality of Shi'i Islam to the West. But here in Qom, they say that, no, there are a lot of problems in that. Okay, what do you have? Nothing. So, so we don't have much thing to say.
When we search in Google, we don't have
any. Exactly, we have nothing.
The, actually, Qom school of thought in,
yes,
spirituality, but very easily we can find these books.
Sure. The very first thing that you find when you Google something about Shi'i spirituality is something like that. Many people like it, but here, I mean, some traditional scholars, many of them say that there are problems. But if they say that there are problems, they need to say, they need to bring something instead. They cannot just say that this is problematic and not bring it. Some other examples, the silent Quran and the speaking Quran, the scriptural sources of Islam between history and forever, what is Shi'i Islam, an introduction. Again, in his book, Why is Shi'i Islam, he tries to pose a type of spiritual understanding of Islam. Let me say something, you know, when I talked about Shi'i spirituality and the importance, Henry Corbin, he believed, you know, many of these people are influenced by Henry Corbin. He believed that Shi'ism is the spiritual aspect of Islam. He said we have two different types of Islam.
Yeah.
The spiritual aspect is Shi'ism, the more ritual aspect is Sunnism. So he had a definition for Shi'ism that was very interesting. So when there are some prominent people like him who believe that, who define Shi'ism as the spiritual aspect of Islam, that's a huge thing. Whether it is correct or not, it has a lot of, you know, things to work on. People like him, they believe that, yeah, what is Shi'ism? The spiritual aspect of Islam. So that's another person who can be mentioned here is Pierre Nori, holder of the chair of Muslim mysticism. And he has written a lot about Islamic mysticism mainly, and somehow, etc. Then about Ma'naviyat and spirituality. Major books that he has, his books are also all in English. I have the translations here. Ismaili traditions and the Imamate through the ages, the doctrines of the Imamate, Ismaili doctrines, Imamism in Iran, the sources of Imamate Shi'ism, Ismaili mysticism and the land, as you can tell, many of them are talking about Ismaili Shi'ism. Imamism, Ismaili communities, the Imamate in Ismaili theology and the Imamate and the foundation of Ismaili cosmology. Okay, Another person that I would like to mention is Atwan Zali, a young scholar who has written something about, mainly about Islamic mysticism, not necessarily about spirituality, but because we don't have many people to name, I just mentioned his name. And he has written about mysticism in Iran. This is his book, The Safavid Roots of a Modern Concept, Studies in Comparative Religion. It has been published in 2017. The last part of my speech, you know, when we do want to do some work on Shi'i spirituality, these are the areas that we really need to work on. The first one is academic and empirical research. You know, in today's world, when the scholars and the scientists talk about spirituality, they do a lot of quantitative and qualitative research. They just don't sit in the libraries and bring ideas about spirituality. Yeah. They bring the spirituality to life and they say, okay, we did that research. Based on that empirical research, we can claim that, for example, Azadari is good for spirituality. We cannot just say that, okay, Azadari is good, or let's say fasting is good, and prayer or recitation of that text is good, without doing empirical research. That's the way that the, you know, Western academia and actually the general academia accepts it. We need to have academic side and way. So academic and empirical research, both theoretical and practical, are important. We should not limit ourselves only to the library type of research, although it is very important. The other thing that we really need to have, we do not have, you know, when you say Nesbat Sanjiyeh, Vaziyat Sanjiyeh Mutalaat-e Shi'i Shinasi, the status of Shi'i spirituality, one important part of that is what we do not have. What we have is not much. What we do not have is huge. We do not have any academic journals, good academic journals, as far as I know, dedicated to the study of the Shi'i spirituality. Do we? We do not have any academic journals. So this is an area that needs to work on. Another thing that I think can be very helpful is to hold specialized courses. If we have scholars who say that there is a type of Shi'i, let's say, spirituality, first we need to organize it and make it like a type of practical handbook. Yeah. And also we need to make courses. We need to teach it. We need to bring it to the attention of the public by teaching it. Yeah. What do we have in theory and what do we have in practice? This can be really shaped as specialized courses. For example, we have courses in Islamic philosophy, right? We have courses in Islamic theology. Or in Dore Kalam, for example, we want to make it in for the Westerners. But do we have any courses on Islamic, on Shi'i spirituality? Nothing. So another aspect that is good to be worked on, that is my suggestion, is specialized courses.
And maybe we should have some discipline or department.
Exactly. Yes. Based on that, and based on all of these things, we can make departments, and that is something that I should have written here. Yes, you're right. Disciplines and departments. But you know, we should not rush to making disciplines and departments. Anyway. Because disciplines and departments are good when we really do have a lot of materials and data, and we need to be our hands need to be full. But that's the poor way. And then the last one is interfaith activities. You know, today in today's world, exactly. In today's world, we have a lot of interest in interfaith activities. One of the best ways to talk about one of the best, let's say, subjective types of interfaith activities is to talk about the spirituality, the commonalities and the differences that we have, for example, in the Shi'i spirituality and the Christians and the Jewish spirituality and other religions. So different topics in spirituality can be a good topic for spiritual, I mean, interfaith activities. And my conclusion is that despite the growth of Shi'i spirituality in the West, and despite the fact that we have a lot of interest in the institutions here in Qom, like this place, and also in other places in the world, there are still a lot of works that need to be done. We do not have a good academic journal, as Dr. Shakir was saying, we do not have a discipline to teach these. We really need to work on many different aspects. So, although I can say that the current state of Shi'i spirituality studies in Western academia is a promising one, with a growing number of scholars, programs, and centers dedicated to advancing our understanding of this important field, but still a lot of other works need to be done. I hope that inshallah God gives us tawfiq to do something in this important topic. And thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much for your excellent lecture. Thank you, and thanks all dignitaries and companions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. If you'd like, I'd like to know, can we have one phrase about the Shi'ism spirituality? One phrase?
Yes. Definition, you mean?
Yes, yes.
No, definition, I would never say something.
Definition.
I can define she, but I can define.
Force.
Life
force.
Have lots of problems for definition of religion.
No, no. Life force and inner aspects of the spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah? Two aspects.
Two aspects, you mean in Shi'ism or
in Shi'ism? In Shi'ism, just in Shi'ism.
Just in Shi'ism?
Turn on your microphone.
Yeah. You know?
Turn off.
You know, like the spirituality itself, when it comes to the Shi'ism, I would say the same thing. Anything Shi'i that connects you to a higher power and gives you a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
This is my understanding of spirituality. And this is actually the global understanding of spirituality. So if you do have something in Shi'ism, it should be something like that. If there is something in Ziyarat that gives me a better meaning of life, I would say that is spiritual. If there is something like in devotional text. But if I want to make it more, let's say, denominational, my understanding of spirituality is something that any Shi'i activity that comes from the Imams and makes me closer to God. So that is a very traditional definition of spirituality. Any activity that has been approved by the Imams and can help me get closer to God and makes me connected to the higher power.
Actually, the main concept of the spirituality is this spiritual experience, the sense of connection with God.
Yes, and that's the sense of connection with higher power. For some people, that's God. For some people, that is nature. Yeah? Still, they can see the spirituality, but we do not.
Sheer spirituality, we have a medium for this connection. For having a safe connection, actually. I would thank you very much for this presentation. And actually, this presentation is about the status of spirituality studies.
Yes.
And I learned very much from it. But I find some other books. If you let me, I want
sure, to yes, please
introduce some books. For example, a book written by Rebecca Masterton.
Yes.
The title is Shi'a Spirituality for the 21st Century.
Mm.
It's very interesting. Actually, it's very near to the Qom thought of school in Shi'ism. but it published in a very unfamiliar publication, and it's not very famous. And another book from Mr. Lingenhausen, the title is Shia Spirituality.
Yeah, it's a book or an article, actually.
Yeah, but now they publish it like a book. It's actually related to the Imam Ali's spirituality, yeah, and the perspective of Imam Ali and spirituality, and developed it. But we don't find any, we didn't find any other books in this manner.
Yeah.
As you said, lots of the famous book in Shia spirituality is not related to world view in Shia spirituality in Qom,
yes,
or the sort of thought in Qom, and it's from another platform, another perspective, and we feel lack of the academic books, academic research in this area. Inshallah, we have this kind of guidance. And if you let me again, I want to have an advertisement for our actually journal, Spirituality Studies.
Yes.
Now we have a journal in our academy. The name is the Islamic Spirituality Studies.
Mm.
Inshallah, after Nowruz, we issued it.
It will be the first number.
It's the first academic journal in this area that is published in Qom. Inshallah.
First volume, inshallah, will be published
after Nowruz.
Congratulations.
Pardon. If you have any questions, I think that you have questions. I missed Dr. Kabir, the lecture.
Believe me, you cannot see me. But you have to believe in me, because for answers, and that is another thing. I think another suggestion about to introduce Shia spirituality to the world is to translate the mystical books that have been written by great mystics.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the last point is
some
that
of
they don't
them
have
Viking.
Yeah. For example, the Salil of the
Lord. Yeah.
Is
that
yeah.
Yes. And in my opinion, about the definition of the Shi, spirituality in one phrase, as Dr. Alon told, as we can say, spirituality in Shia, Shiism, means being godlike. Because he is the ultimate goal of life.
You know the point here, you know, someone may say that whenever we talk about spirituality, we, people like us, and I mean the traditional religious people, we start thinking about mysticism. For many people in the world, you know, mysticism is something, spirituality is something else. For us, mysticism and spirituality is very much related to each other.
The same.
Yeah, you say the same, but in the academic, Western academia, they say these are different.
No,
but so when you say godlike, this is a mystical definition.
When we have common sense about the spirituality, that is, the, as you mentioned, about the personal connection to the higher power.
Yes.
And we say to them, if you find that there is highest power in this universe,
so, and you
are God. Yes, but at the end, it's God. And obviously, God has no look. Remember, but they don't, they are ignorant. If they, as Imam Reza, his governance has said, the wise man knows Ma'asana Kalam Lakaruna. It is that they don't know.
But you know, the problem is that many people are deemed to be religious, you know?
No,
and
they are religious, has different levels.
But you are not spiritual at all.
Imam Ali is a religious person,
Imam Ali
is a religious person. I'm going to say, 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 I'm going to say خب دی ماشین علامت کائنات ما به تو قائم شو تو قائم ذات زندگی منهای خدا و امانت جنده واقعا Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, Resolution.
Thank you.
Do we have time?
Yeah. Thank you for your wonderful presentation.
Sure.
I enjoyed it a lot. You know, I'm a university lecturer and, you know, teacher at institutes, you know, I am Tokyo. And I have so many students turning their backs to religion and religious things and doctrines. And most of the time when I hear that, they just, for example, do not pray anymore, they're not fasting anymore. For example, Ramadan months, we see them a lot eating, drinking different things in the classes easily. I really decided as a Shia Muslim. What I want to point here is that how can we come through a spirituality to actually institutionalize actually our religious things and doctrines and teach them how spirituality and our religion is important and how we can get close to God. Sometimes I just tell them, for example, in order to just, you know, pray or say prayer, you have to think of, you know, the fact that you get closer to God yourself, and the prayers itself is better for you than actually God, because God or Allah does not need us actually prayer. That's why actually we pray for God. We need prayer for ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't know how we can go through spirituality and tell young people, especially at this generation, and you can see a lot that they turn their back to religious things, unfortunately. How can we do that?
Yeah, you know, it's a big question. I'm not sure if I can answer many different aspects that it has, but you know, because there are different reasons for the youth who turn their back to the religion, as you say. There are many different reasons. The very first thing is to find out what is the reason for that. You know, and different people have different reasons. Some people, they don't find any meaning in religion. Some people, they see something in the activities of people like me and say, okay, those people are doing so and so, so we don't behave that religion. But still, all of them, when you talk about spirituality, see, yeah, we love spirituality, but not from them, right? That's what they say. The point is that one thing that has been done that I think it should be corrected some way is that the way that we have taught religion, the way that religion has been taught to ourselves, is too much ritualistic and it's based on laws, halal, haram, and that is good. If you do that, you go to the paradise. If you do that, you go to the hellfire.
Exactly.
It's a lot. It's a lot of like force and it's dry. I mean, it's like law. It's only law. From the beginning, when we have been at the age of my son, you know, we have been taught about religion as something that says you must do that and you must not do that. If you do not do that, you go to the hellfire. You know, this is not a good way of teaching religion to the youth. We have not taught about. And another thing is that we have not made a very close connection between religion and spirituality. And that is why many people say that they go to the mosque and they stand up in the first line of the after the imam, after the Jamal Imam. But at the same time, you don't see any type of spirituality in their actions, because they believe that religion is just that. Religion is just rituals, meaningless for them, meaningless rituals. Just going, doing something without understanding it. This mentality needs to be corrected. We really need to tell people that, yes, religion is not just rituals. Even if you do that rituals, without that ritual bringing anything to your life or to your inner peace, that ritual is not something that religion wants, really. You know, I don't want to say that they should not do that ritual anymore. But if they really want to do the ritual, that, you know, when we look at the ahadith, what does it mean that they say, for example, a person who prays and does not know what to say, what he's saying, his prayer is not accepted. You know, because even in the riwayat, when we go and teach and look at them in depth, they focus on the meaning and on the inner part of the rituals. But we have made the rituals just superficial. Go and just pray without even understanding. It's okay. It's you have done your wajib. Yeah, you have done your wajib, inshallah, you're saved. No, that's not the point. If you do not understand riwayat, it's not accepted. It's not batil according to fiqh. So let me summarize it this way. خیلی فقه ذره اینگه فقه لازمه ولی فقهی که خالی شده باشه از معانی عرفانی و معانی اخلاقی این چیزا رو داره
من یه نمونه ارز کنم باید شما
باش
من چند سال
تحجیب درسته بودیم جلسته رو رسمون تمام
بکنیم نه 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 نه
در تایید
فرمان شما تایید فرمان شما از شما چند سال تایید فرمان شما
Thank you very much for being sure that this is our participants. Thank you very much. It's fascinating that the results are there for a very excellent lecture. And Mr. Professor Shafian Azad for assisting in this session. And everyone that listen to us. Thank you.
Thank you.